Karin took it as an insult that she didn't know what the group who had chartered the ship believed in. "Yes, it is also about helping humanity by making family planning an option for millions of third world women, and reducing the burden our population places on the Earth. When Dr. Lydell Cooper founded the movement in the 1970s, there were 3 billion people in the world. Today there are twice that many, 6 billion, and the rates aren't slowing. 10% of all humans who have ever lived, going back 100,000 years, are alive right now."
"I saw the same informational placards they have placed around the ship," Passman said archly. "But don't you think responsivism goes beyond social consciousness? For a woman to join, she has to agree to have her fallopian tubes tied. It sounds to me more like, well, a cult."
"That's what Michael said people tell him all the time."
With the stubbornness of youth, Karin felt she had to defend her crush's convictions.
"Just because you don't know all the facts doesn't mean you can dismiss what he believes."
"Yes, but surely you see..."
Passman let his voice trail off, knowing that whatever argument was put forth would stand little chance against a 20-something girl with raging hormones.
"Actually, you probably wouldn't. I think you two should let Yannicka rest. You can tell her all about the party later."
He left Yanni's bedside.
"Are you going to be okay, Schnooky Putsy?"
Elsa asked, touching Yanni's thin shoulder.
"I'll be fine. You two have fun, and I've unloaded details tomorrow."
"Good girls don't kiss and tell,"
Karin said, and grinned.
"In that case, I don't expect either of you to be good girls."
The two Germans left together, but Karin returned a second later. She eased up to the head of the bed.
"I want you to know that I think I'm going to do it."
Yanni knew what she meant. She knew that Michael was more than a passing crush for her friend, and that apart from kissing a few times, he had spent hours talking to her about his beliefs.
"Karin, that is way too big of a step. You don't know him that well."
"I've never really wanted kids anyway, so what's the big deal if I have my tubes tied now or in a few years?"
"Don't let him talk you into it," Yanni said as forcefully as her weakened body would let her.
Karin was nice, but not the strongest person Yannicka had ever met.
"He didn't talk me into it," she dismissed too quickly. "It's something I've thought about for a long time. I don't want to be worn out at 30 like my mother was. She's 45 now and looks 70, no thanks. Besides," she said with a bright smile, "nothing will happen until we dock in Greece anyway."
Yanni took Karin's hand to emphasize her point.
"This is a decision that will affect the rest of your life. Give it some more thought, okay?"
"Okay," Karin said, as if to a parent.
Yanni gave her a quick hug.
"Good. Now go have some fun for me."
"Count on it."
Their perfumes lingered long after the girls were gone. Yanni drifted off to sleep, and when she awoke, a few hours had passed. She could hear the muffled rumble of the ship's engines, but could hardly feel the calm rocking of the Indian Ocean swells. She wondered how Elsa and Karin were enjoying the party. Yannicka woke again, an hour later. She hated being in the hospital. She was lonely and bored, and for a moment considered grabbing her old clothes from under the bed and sneaking up to the ballroom for a peek. But her body just wasn't up to it, and again she closed her eyes. She heard a crash the instant before the mugger wrapped his hand around her throat again and started to squeeze. Yannicka flashed awake, reaching for her inhaler just as the door to her room opened in a blaze of light from the office beyond. Stricken by the asthma attack, she wasn't sure what she was seeing. Dr. Passman staggered into the room. He wore a bathrobe, and his feet were bare. It looked like the front of the robe and his face was covered in blood. Yannicka sucked greedily on the inhaler, blinking to clear her eyes of sleep.
Passman made an obscene cawing sound, and more blood dribbled from his mouth. Yanni gasped. He took two more faltering steps, and it seemed the bones of his knees dissolved. He fell back, and his body hit the linoleum floor with a wet smack. Yanni saw that wave-like ripples traveled the length of his body, as though his insides had been liquefied, and in seconds he was surrounded by a viscous moat of his own blood. She clutched her sheets tighter, drawing on the inhaler as she began to hyperventilate. Then another figure came into her room. It was Karin, in her little black dress. She was coughing violently, wet, racking convulsions that spewed blood in a bright spray. Yanni screamed through her own coughing fit, terrified at what she was seeing.